to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room. Immediately following this announcement, you will see a flash and hear a beep. These should happen at the same time. Again.
Folks, welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. This is your, this is Wednesday. Happy hump day, folks. We did it. We did it once again. I think if you've listened this week, you've realized that I have realized that we're almost at the end of the year, and that has scared the bejesus out of me. I realize we need to, Meditza, if you're listening, we need to start working on the holiday card for Patreon. We always, this will be our second year in the row of doing a special holiday card. I've got some ideas. It might involve Lisa. It might involve Lisa Rinna. For those of you just joining us for the first time, that was my Lisa Rinna cackle, because we have determined This is true. Lisa Rinna is a demon. And I want to, if you're listening today, I want you guys, I want to congratulate you. We are on we're on Wednesday, which means it is the second Beverly Hills reunion. It airs tonight. So happy Beverly Hills reunion day. We left last week with Kathy Hilton coming to the stage, and we've got another hour tonight to decipher, to go over, to look forward to my recap, to see how unhinged it can get. And we know it can get very unhinged at all times. So looking forward to that. And also need to remind you, tonight after the Beverly Hills reunion, we have the season premiere, the series premiere, mind you, of Winter House, of Bravo's Winter House, where we have combined Southern Charm. It's like putting chocolate into peanut butter, Southern Charm and Summer House. And then some new people, and they mix it all in with a hot tub in the snow, and babies are made. No, I don't know what happens. I am so clueless on this show, except that I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, I have high hopes. I really do. I guess I'm what you call an optimist, just for reality shows. How are you folks doing? Are you good? Man, what a day. Kanye West keeps putting on weird masks, and it's scaring me. I'm starting to have dreams about it. He got a new creepy mask today, and I just can't imagine this is what God wants from us. You know, the higher powers, like, come on, man. I gave you a face for a reason. Let's show it. And he got a haircut that looks like a barber just hated him, was just like going to town, like zip, zip, zip. I don't know. I think at this point he's just messing with us. He just wants to see what we'll do. Like, could I make these creepy masks cool? Like, if he tries to get me to wear one of those creepy masks, I'll probably do it, but I'm not going to like it. It's like those weird shoes. It looked like you were sticking your hand, like your feet, in some kind of prehistoric bubble machine or something. I don't know. I guess I just have to accept I'm never going to understand it and just go along for the ride at this point. Because he definitely, but you know, okay. So let me get into this a little bit more. I watched a video where he was at, like a Vogue director and like another art, like a wedding in Italy, and Jay-Z and Beyonce were there, and he was there, and he did two songs at the wedding, but he was wearing a mask, so it was like all muffled. He was like, gonna run away, take one for the district, take one for the asshole. And you couldn't even hear it. It's like, we get it, dude. You're in the mask. We get it. But your performance is suffering. Like, and do we all have to be deluded enough where he's a genius so he can do whatever he wants and he does? Like, I was always raised as an actor, as a theater performer, is that the performance is what mattered. And I feel like sometimes he is now all about the image is what matters, and the performance is neither here nor there, because only, you know, at most 60,000 people are in a stadium seeing it. But he's now after millions and millions of people. So I feel like he wants that image to come across. He wants that image of himself in a mask rather than us singing along to his lyrics or hearing his songs. And that's frustrating. It's just like a different way of his artistry. So we'll never understand. I have to accept, Ryan, just accept it. I'm going to accept it. I was talking with a friend today about expectations. Well, that was a hell of a segue, huh? And I was talking about and about sometimes moments, you know, is that we don't, sometimes I don't appreciate the moment when I'm in it, you know, because I'm looking forward to the next moment, or I'm looking ahead at like, oh God, I got to do four things on Thursday and five things on Friday. And I'm never enjoying the moment at hand. And I don't know if you guys are like me with that. I think we all have a little bit of that in us where it's very, you know, so many cool things are happening. And like, I don't take stock of that sometimes because I'm thinking about the next things that I have to do or the next things. And I guess this is just a verbal reminder to myself and to you, if it means anything to you, to try to be in the moment, to try to appreciate what's in front of us and not 8 miles down the road, if that makes sense. And I also wrote down this quote. Yeah, this is also a self-help podcast now. We do it all over here. It's so bad, it's good. This is great. I'm trying to find the quote. I love that. Oh, it says, if fun is your only objective, you can never fail. Don't you love that? If fun is your only objective, you can never fail. Now, remember, fun can be everything. Fun can be helping people. Fun can be listening to people, talking with people, going on a hike. Fun can be anything. But if that is your ultimate goal, I mean, that's That's what we all want to do, right? Like, that's what I want to do. I want to have fun. I want this to be fun. I want you to have fun when you're listening to this. I got a great DM yesterday that said, I saved this girl on her trip to Chicago because she had my podcast to listen to, and that really made me feel good. And like, if I can, and somebody said, oh, you guys, I'm so sorry once again that I released the podcast late yesterday, so I know you might be behind. And Andrea Denver from Winterhouse was on for a quick 15-minute interview. You're going to meet him for the first time tonight on Winterhouse. And then I did a solo recap of Vanderpump Rules. And Vanderpump Rules, somebody said they pissed themselves almost when I did my Raquel voice, because I felt bad for doing Raquel with the shaky voice. So then I made her have a really strong voice. So my strong voice, unfortunately, sounded like Mr. T was like, I love you, DJ James Kennedy. I love you. And I don't think this woman was ready for that. And she nearly peed herself. But to me, that is like, if you have peed yourself listening to me, could you give me a like, what are those things on LinkedIn where you recommend people or go like, this guy's great at making me pee? Like, if you could throw me a bone on LinkedIn, that would be incredible as well. I had so many great interviews today. I can't wait to share those with you. And I have to wake up early tomorrow to interview a housewife, which I'm very excited about as well. I do want to let people know that Dave Quinn's officially sanctioned Bravo book is out today. They're having the premiere party for the book in New York. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there, but I'm so proud of Dave, and he is going to be coming on the podcast very soon. So I cannot wait to share all of his thoughts with you guys. But the book is called Not All Diamonds and Rosé by Dave Quinn, and it interviews first-person accounts of all of these housewives, and so much good dirt is in this guy. So I am giving an official plug for that. I also think that could be a good stocking stuffer for the holiday time as well. I cannot wait to dig into my book. Also, on that thing, Vanderpump Rules, the new episode aired tonight. Gotta tell you, wasn't a fan tonight. Really not great episode. Next week's episode looks better, but this week's episode was stinky, yinky, ugh. Not good, folks. Not good at all. It just didn't mesh. A lot of fake scenes, I felt. I was very disappointed in this episode because I thought they had a really decent... But it'll still be fun to laugh about on the recap. We will be having a good time with it. I can have a good time with any Vanderpump Rules episode, but I'm also always going to tell you the truth. It wasn't a good episode. I have high hopes for this season. Did not fit in with my high hopes. So shame on you, Vanderpump Rules. Shame on you. Gosh, there was something else I wanted to share with you guys. What was it? Damn it. Oh yeah. Salt Lake City recap. I believe that will be up on the Patreon tomorrow. I'm doing a Shooting the Shit with Meditza Lopez episode tomorrow as well, I believe. So that's all very exciting. If you want to go over to the Patreon, I know there is something else to tell you. Fuck. Oh, that's frustrating. Okay. Oh, that's it. No. Oh, that's, yes, that is it. Just me going crazy over here, folks. I want to recommend a show to you. You probably are already watching it, but if you haven't, I'd love to recommend Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. It's on Hulu. The final episode of a 10-episode series aired yesterday, and I just thought it was delightful. It had a different pace. They were all just really, they worked really well together. Selena Gomez, I know her songs a little bit, but I'm not familiar with her acting. Is that her real voice? She kind of talks without any joy in her. She's like, what's going on, you guys? What's going on? I can't do a good, but it's like every, but it works, but it is weird. It's like an odd choice. And I'm like, does she do that all the time? I don't know her work except for a couple of songs. But it's so charming. You just want to, it's a great, I know this sounds weird. It's a great show for the fall. It just feels like fall in New York. It's, I don't know. There's something that just really works for me with that show. So want to recommend that, to you guys if you haven't already seen that. And, yeah, I think that's it. So today I am so excited. I mean, really genuinely excited to have my next guest, Julie Goldman and Brandi Howard. Now, you might know them from the past Bravo show, The People's Couch. They also hosted a Vanderpump Rules after show at one time on Bravo, which I was a religious viewer of. And I remember thinking, man, man, I would always list, but man, they're cool. I want to be like them someday. And their podcast, Dumb Gay Politics, is great. They just have such an amazing chemistry together. The comedy partnership between the two is just so fun. And I didn't know them at all. I'd met them one time at a party, and you'll hear the story. You'll hear the story during this. And so this is the first time I got to talk to them. And guys, I was a giggle gertie. Yeah, I was a giggle gertie. I giggled the entire time. It was so fun to listen to them and to talk with them and to just make jokes with them. We talk about the Beverly Hills reunion. We talk Vanderpump Rules. We talk Dumb Gay Politics. And I think I pretty much at the end just begged to drink with them. I was like, can I drink with you guys someday? Can I do that? Like, it was probably one of the creepier moments of my career where I was like, hey, you guys, could I hang out with you? It was like Make-A-Wish. Could I hang out with you guys one day when it's safe? I've been vaccinated. Could I hang out with you? Totally. I really, honestly, I was like a kid where I just asked them to hang out with me. And I think that I don't usually do. Could you imagine if that's how I end every interview? Could you hang out with me? Hey, that was great. Did you like it? Could you hang out with me? This is one of the handful of people I've done this on. And I'm sure they're scared. Why wouldn't you be very scared? But I do want to recommend everybody go check out Dumb Gay Politics. It really is a very funny, funny show that talks about something that we all are very frustrated with, but they do it in such a way that I think it is so palatable, and they're just so smart. So without further ado, let's get into it. Julie Goldman and Brandi Howard. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to iHeart's Radio's So Bad It's Good. Today, I am so excited to have my next guest. I met these guys years ago, and I can't wait to tell them where. It was really one of the most embarrassing situations I've ever had. But I have been fans of theirs since The People's Couch. They did the Vanderpump Rules After Show, and now they have one of the best podcasts that actually makes politics fun. I know you're like, no, but it really, really does kind of bring a smile to your face because I think they're really two genuinely funny, funny, brilliant people. This is the description for their podcast. If you know who NeNe Leakes is, but not Nancy Pelosi, then this is the podcast for you. Join Bravo stars Julie Goldman, the gay, and Brandi Howard, the dumb, as they talk about the week in politics like they're talking about reality TV. The podcast with lots of feelings, lots of facts, and zero fucks. New episodes out every Tuesday, but Julie and Brandi, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
God, that description is good.
You guys wrote that description.
Yeah, we wrote it.
Who wrote that? That's so good.
Wow. We don't have anyone who writes anything for us. We do every single thing ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I wish we had. No, our producer wrote that. And we love her. She's incredible. She does it all. She edits, she writes.
No. I know, it's like 3 a.m. and I'm trying to edit a stupid podcast that I've accidentally deleted. It is just horrifying on a weekly basis.
Oh my God. Yes.
Where are you on vacation? Can we know that? Is anyone supposed to know that you're lounging in bed in Hawaii or something?
I actually am in Hawaii.
You fucker. You can tell by the bed. It looks like heaven.
They say, yeah, I'm in with the White Lotus right now. I'm ready to. Okay, so I met you guys years ago, and it was a really embarrassing. You will not remember this, but you guys were at Tom Sandoval's birthday party above like some, and they were doing like a fundraiser for some teacher's thing, and Jax Taylor's credit card didn't go through. I came up with my friend Molly, who brought me there, and I thought it was just an actual birthday party. And then I had to sign a release. And then right at the door, I met you guys and I was introduced. And I was so starstruck by you guys. And I started, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, Broadcast News, where Albert Brooks like gets a chance to do the news and he just starts sweating. My whole body turned to water. And then and my friend Molly goes, this guy's sweating right now to you guys. And it made it worse. And then I went and hid for the rest of the party. But I was so excited to see you guys. I really am.
Is it Malls?
Molly McAleer. Yeah,
because that's where I always remember, like, I remember meeting her there. And then when we like reconnected later, I don't know that she remembered meeting us
there.
There's a good chance. I remember doing a shot with Stassi and then Katie in the background just gave us a dirty look.
And I was like, yeah. That's Barry Katie, you know?
Yeah. On brand. That's the thing about those Vanderpump kids, man. They are always, they're on brand. Like, yeah. You don't show up and go, it's weird. Like, Stassi right. was studying. I think she's, yeah. I think she's like in grad school or whatever. You know?
Yeah. They are who they are. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I want to talk about how you guys met each other and all of that stuff, but I do want to compliment you on your podcast, which is excellent. And I was so downtrodden this last 4 years, of course. And even now, like, there's been such a burnout, but I listen to your podcast and it kind of, it amps me up and makes me excited to actually be part of a political process or actually understand, or you guys just bring such a humor and warmth to it. Why are you still doing this after this last 4 years? I guess that is, it just seems like such an intense topic to still talk about.
Yeah.
It's so draining. Yeah. It's so much work. Yeah. Honestly, we have 14 fucking listeners. No one listens. I'm so like flattered, aren't you? That he's
I am. Listen? Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Before we even answer that, just thank you for saying that. Honestly, the reason why we're still doing it is because you're still listening. would possibly even say one of the things that you just said. I mean, I that really touched me. I'll be honest with you. It really did.
Even if you only listened once, still, it was really sweet.
No, but you guys seem like you're really into, I mean, like you make it seem like, I mean, it just, I don't know. It's very, you can relate to you ladies a lot more than I can relate to anybody else. It seems.
I think the thing with politics is this, at least for me, I can say, everyone has their own bag and whatever it is that's important to you, whatever. At the end of the day, politics is your rights. That's all it is. So are we interested? Am I interested? Yeah, I'm interested in who's running and who has power over my rights. So we don't necessarily have to go into an NPR situation and be like, well, the policy incursion of the last paragraph of like, no, fuck that. I want to know. We want to know regular people who like reality TV, who watch TV, who aren't pretentious, who don't pretend that we know everything about a policy. What we do know is what affects us day to day and what and who's hot and who's not.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell, not
I mean, I mean, it's like when you go into a party and you meet people that you like, people that treat you like shit. How did you feel in there? How did you feel around a group of people? How did you feel when you were in at work? That's to me what politics is. And so when we talk about it, it's that surface. It's that easy. It's that right there on the tip for me on like, right. That's like when your heart's on your sleeve, it's like, yeah. I feel it all the time.
But the real reason is that one, I would of course wanted to just do like a Bravo pod. Like that's all I watched. And Julie was dykey and refused. And like, was
wow.
Like,
wow. Yeah.
Shocking.
She was watching so much news and it was, you know, 2016. And so I'm like, oh God, it was before Hillary had even lost. I was like, what are we going to do? Start this podcast. She's going to win. And then I'm going to be like, not interested. And this is boring. And so so we had been tossing it around. And then the day after the election, we were actually in Mexico. And I was like,
oh, so you guys ran. You were like, we're leaving America. Okay.
We voted early. And then we were like, Julie was doing stand up in Mexico and we were there and got drunk. And that was, you know, nobody thought, of course, no one thought what was going to happen. No. The next day, Julie's like sitting on the edge of the bed crying. And I was literally like this. I was like this. I'm going to get so many like Melania Trump style parts. Like, I'm going to get like, so my gold digger status is going to like skyrocket. I'm going to book commercials. Now that like never happened, but I was definitely trying to like pivot in career wise and exploit this in any way. And I was like, well, this is no better time then. Let's do the podcast now.
Yeah.
After that, People's Couch got canceled, but we weren't allowed to say. And so I made us quit Bravo. like drug addicts. So really that's the reason that we eat, drink and breathe it is because I made us quit. And it was like, we had to go to rehab. I mean, I would sit at home and be like, what do I do with my life?
That's so intense. I mean, that really is intense. And I don't know if I would have the strength to do that at this point. I feel like it's just like, I get the DTs if I miss a day of something,
You go into withdrawals. Yeah. It's like, and then, you know, think about, it's like, thinking about your own shit. God forbid I should have to think of my own shit at 8 p.m. at night on a Wednesday.
That's what I was thinking about. I was listening to last week's episode and Brandy or you guys were talking about, like, back in the old generation, or even a lot of my listeners are moms, and I see that on the Instagram stories, they do 30 things before the sunrise, and like, I can do like a solid two, you know? Yeah. And it's so, I'm like, how is people like, I can watch my stories or my Bravo, like I can watch that. And I go, this is what happened to Erica. And I don't believe this, but there has been no personal growth on my own part with my own life.
Yeah.
Not exactly. Even errands haven't even been run. Laundry has sat, not getting done.
Yep.
Most of my errands are in Pasadena and it snows there. So I've got to really bank on it. So you took a break from Bravo, or you quit it cold turkey. Now, I know you really don't watch a lot of Bravo, but you have watched this season of Beverly Hills. Is that correct? Or
yes, we dipped back in. We had to watch like the Shaws. We love reunions, of course, more than
anything,
any other show. We'll watch reunions of shit we've never even seen on other networks. Like, oh, let's watch the reunion of 90 Day Fiancé, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But so we fell off the wagon for like the Shaws 2-part shit show pandemic reunion.
We love
Shaws. And then, we also watched the Berkshires where fell down.
Yes.
That was like around New York.
Right.
Like I love you say like they all fell down like that was one episode.
They literally did all at one point.
It was at that dinner at Dorinda's house.
It got really nasty. And then the next day they just made up like nothing had happened.
Yeah.
I blame alcohol, like, Dorinda said. Of course.
Leanne was like, you can't sing. Nobody likes your show and all that. So it was a 2-part episode. We watched that. Then we had to go back to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
We did watch What Happens Live this year.
So we fell off the wagon.
We almost got sucked back. We almost got back addicted.
What if Bravo needs viewers? So they're just bringing you back on. So they have like 4 more to watch. We're People's Couch coming back. Let's do this.
I wish.
I mean, we wish. So we have watched, we couldn't miss Kathy Hilton. So we have watched Beverly Hills. Yes.
I mean, I don't know what Kathy Hilton is. I mean, it's just worth getting out of. It's worth getting and re-getting addicted for, because she's.
Yeah.
I want. She needs her own show.
Magic.
I feel like magic.
People that their defense of not liking Kathy Hilton is taking into account her whole life. And I'm like, yo, I'm watching this season. I don't need to know what she did in the 90s. I don't need to know what she did. Like, I know I get Paris. She was mom to Paris. I get it. But I don't need to know any of that stuff, you know?
Yeah, plus we love that.
Yeah, I love all of it.
We don't even care she's best friends with Michael Jackson. No. She literally named...
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Just put pictures of them and Michael over her fireplace.
Oh, fine.
It's like...
In her $56 million house?
And they made a pact to both name their daughters Paris, and then they both did. And now Kathy totally backtracks and goes, no, I just love Paris. It's like, no. You and Michael, you made the pact. It's genius. We love every.
I named her Paris.
Yeah.
I love Dill. I mean, have you watched?
Sorry.
You need to watch Cooking with Paris, and Kathy's on it.
Oh my God. It was. I love what you're doing in here, Paris. Like, it's so fun.
So good. So good. I love Dill.
Yeah.
I love Dill. Wait. Paris, I love Dill.
I had to go get Julie, and I go, do people like dill as a thing? Is that like a thing people love? Is that like a spice that people...
Now, what are you doing over there, Paris? Now, what are you doing over there? I mean, and you know what? Say what you want about her. She's obsessed with her own daughters. She's obsessed with those two girls. She'll do anything for them. And so then what else is there? What else is there?
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know what
I like that we don't see Rick. I like that Rick is kind of like...
Who cares
like,
about Rick?
No, but I love that he could just be next season just stumbling around the back, kind of like Caitlin used to do in Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to play with my helicopter today. You know,
if Rick transitions.
Oh my God. That's the only way we get off this Erica storyline. Rick
would transitioning. If all the husbands, I mean, now that
is good.
So, I mean, I'm sure I'll get canceled for that, but still.
Oh. It's so deep. Like the Rick, Maurizio, how they didn't talk. Mm. I mean,
I know.
It's so good.
The real estate wars between.
Yeah.
And then, we saw Kathy's mansion. It finally got put up for sale. It's like $56 million. And guess who has the listing for it?
Maurizio?
Barron. The son.
Oh, my God. Perfect. And then his daughters are in whatever their names are. Their names are like
France. They're listing agents too, aren't they?
Farrah.
Yeah,
they're all in real estate too. They're like,
God.
Do you believe... I was not sure that Kathy and Rick had it that deep, that 56 million. I wasn't sure. I'm like, do they have that kind of cash?
And then for a sudden be like, I feel so poor in here, you know,
and like,
it's, so, it's so weird. It's like, I love rich people. Rich people are just, they have it. And it's like a play home for Kathy and Rick to play around with and just do what they want. They don't have to live here because Rick is obviously ensconced or like melded together with their mansion they've lived in. Now I'm thinking about the Michael Jackson. Do you think Kathy like supported when Michael Jackson started dressing in all military wear? Like, Michael, I love what you're doing with the epaulettes. Yeah, you know, like,
I think so, because Kathy's got a, she's kind of got a funky fashion sense we're seeing, right?
Yeah,
he's an artist and we have to support what artists do. The Jackson family is very out there. I don't mind it. I think she's also, he's the most famous. I think for famous people and people in general, when you're, if the most famous person in the world is not only dressing in military wear, but doing other things that are, which we all knew was going on, all wanted to put our, you know, shut our eyes to, you do, because it's the most famous person in the world with music that you love, that blew our childhood, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, he could have done anything he wanted and she would have been right there.
I mean, I like what you said about like, we all knew, but we all never like, I mean, I questioned, like, I was a kid and the Thriller album, I think he was laying with a tiger, like seductively.
Yeah,
and I was like,
yeah.
And to me, it was totally normal, made all the sense in the world. And then you grow up. And it's the same thing with Erica Jane to me, though, is that, okay, so here's something she's bragged about, insane amount of wealth. I know he's a very, Tom was a very powerful lawyer, but I'm like, how much do lawyers really make? Like how, I always in the back of my head thought like something's weird, but I never wanted to accept it. And I guess you could say same with Ben Shaw from Salt Lake, which I don't think you guys watch, but the Erica Jane thing, shouldn't we have already always known something weird was going on?
The Tom Girardi. I didn't know from that man. That man, I would have held his hand till the end of time and time began. Tom Girardi was my friend. He was my mentor. He was everything I wanted to be. Tom Girardi.
I'm hurting.
My son flipped his car over 13 times and it snowed up there in Pasadena. It snowed quite a bit.
That man's arm fell off and head disattached from his body.
There was a burglar that came in and his glaucoma exploded. I didn't know. Nobody called me for 13 hours.
A home intruder flared his glaucoma up. I mean, just fucking, when did she become a habitual compulsive liar? I mean,
she made it sound like Tom like did face it like
Tom knew jiu-jitsu and he took him down but his glaucoma,
like it did make it sound like he swept a leg and the burglar he saved Pasadena.
He came out of his panic room and there he was. There was a burglar and a robber
and also a burglar
or an intruder.
It was old time. See, it was 1912 and a burglar came into the house.
It makes it does seem like it is the like the Hamburglar or something, and you right. You kind of picture in my head, you picture like Tom with like a fire poker, you know, like he grabs the first thing and it's like a fire and there's like a big fire going on in the mansion.
Yeah. And they still have that old timey thing with this broom and shit by the fire and the
wrought iron things.
Yeah, the wrought iron things everybody's parents had in the 80s.
He handed he took the poker because that's all there was next to my bed, our bedroom by the chiffarobe.
It's like Home Alone with Tom, though. And he's like, I must defend the orphan and widow's money I've stolen, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
we knew that if like defense attorneys, who are obviously the scum of the earth, and we say that with love, one of our good friends is a huge
as long as you say it with love, you can say whatever you
with,
want.
With all due,
with all due, with all due,
Joy Black.
With all due, with all due, with all due. I mean,
Are you saying Roy Black friend?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Real Housewives of my, I've never met Leah in person, but that's okay. I got it.
Yeah. Well, you get to have Leah. Come on. If you want.
Oh my God. I would love it. I mean, what an icon, like three seasons.
Icon.
I finally watched Miami for the first time during the pandemic. Cause I was always scared of it for some reason. Mm-hmm. And so amazing. Can't believe she's not back for the reboot.
It's ridiculous. Cannot.
Are you kidding? We begged. Cause she's like one of our best friends. And
no way.
Simply because we lurked, because we were obsessed. Because she's to us. It's just like Nene, you know, Lisa Vanderpump, Bethany, like you have these like tentpole people, and Leah is that. She is the queen of Miami.
Yep.
And we hung out with them for years, and it's like, and Roy and these defense attorneys, they are the scum of the fucking planet.
Well, did you watch Cocaine Cowboys on Netflix?
Yeah, we've seen Cocaine one.
Roy was, I mean, but like, yeah. Well, no, I once DM'd Leah during the pandemic to say I was a big fan and like really amazing, you know, and I got like, I think an automatic response to buy her face cream or something. And I was like, okay, like, I don't think it was her. I think it was her assistant saying to buy face cream.
Well, she will come. She will for sure come on.
We'll let her know.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Oh my God. Icon. So Erica, though, it is weird. We hear all these stories. I believe she is a bad liar, but she almost tries to turn it around and gaslights the audience into making us think that her story above the orphan and widows is this, like, I feel like she thinks she is preparing herself for one of the most amazing comebacks in history when it really is not about her. What is your opinion watching her?
She is trying to be the victim. And now all of a sudden it's like, he didn't care about me. He said, I spent all this money. He, in the affair, but you were defending him the whole time. And we all knew about the affairs or whatever. And you didn't care.
Right.
I'm just not in her corner whatsoever. And I do believe she knew. And like, what I was going to say about Roy and defense attorneys is they do make $1 million a minute and will literally take a call while they're like eating filet mignon. Like, I'm just on the phone. I'm making $10,000 the next 2 minutes and shit. But Roy told us that just in terms of like the law community that, you know, Tom Girardi.
Personal injury.
He's a glorified ambulance chaser. I mean, he's a personal injury attorney. They're ambulance chasers and other lawyers you can be a fucking divorce lawyer and you're going to get more respect in the community than those guys get. And like with Michael Avenatti, is also a really cool guy.
Yep.
Again, the only way for these personal injury attorneys to ever make money is by stealing from their clients, unfortunately. So anytime you meet one that's rich, it's like, okay, you're robbing your clients.
Well, or at least is that kind of rich. It's like, you might be Salino and Barnes at that point. Right. Okay, you could be rich. But that is what Tom Girardi is. He's Salino and Barnes. He's Jacoby and Meyer. He is.
Did you fall down the steps?
Did you fall down the steps? Now he's doing a class, giving you a class action situation. So if 5,000 people have vaginal mesh and man boobs
can see starch, my man boobs from there. Right?
Like, he's trying to cash in on that. He wants to do a class. He wants a large group of people.
Yeah.
Because he wants that kind of money. But still.
And she knows. I believe she knew. Because you just know.
Right.
I mean,
but even let's say benefit of the doubt. Let's just say she didn't know that he was stealing from people. She knew there was shady stuff. She knew there was whatever. Let's say she didn't know. At this point now, what you're doing, now you look gross. You just look gross. So now you should be slinking off into the corner, not going on Instagram, saying you're sorry, being humble, being quiet.
You mean on Instagram, you didn't appreciate when she said, I'm watching buffoons eat my pussy. You didn't think that was a cool thing to do? That was very sympathetic to the victims. What do you mean?
With the picture of her with her legs open too. The picture in and of itself without the cap, the horrific, horrendous.
I'll
caption.
Give you money to stop. Like, I want this to stop. Like,
I mean, just then on the show, how she's acting, it's like, there's just a way could have been a way for her to have seem sympathetic and still be a liar.
You could do both. You know what I mean? Yes. But don't you think you've watched these shows forever up until you took a break from them, but it's their egos that we love. But at the same time, she cannot retire the ego for some reason.
It's
like this magical thinking in her head where she's like, they still love me. They still all like, I need to, it's me. And I feel like it would be, even if you have the law community saying, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can still say, I'm very upset about the situation.
And yes.
To figure out what is happening. You know,
I mean, she was deluded beforehand. I mean, I think there's a delusion also being that she paid that much money with her glam squad or whatever, paid to perform. It wasn't like, you know what I mean?
She
like
paid to perform in those gay clubs. I heard the beginning.
So you're already promoting and you're already a fraud. So that's fine. You know what? A lot of these people on Housewives, they rent a house for the season. They're all perpetrating some sort of fraud. Fine. But at the end of the day, now that your husband stole from fucking burn victims, you go,
okay, I'm going to just quiet down now and I'm gonna go.
I'm not gonna complain about my square footage just, across the street from right. Army Hammer.
Things are horrible for me.
By the way, she showed her new house and I was like, it's still gonna be bigger than any place that I ever live in my course. Life.
And her new house was gorgeous.
And then she said earlier in the season, I don't know if you guys, she said, like, we used to keep the pool heated 24/7 and now I had to turn off because it's just too expensive. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I've never been in a heated pool. I have cold pools that I enjoy, you know?
Yeah, it's like that. She was like that.
And the thing is, she was already so vulgar. I thought it was just annoying. Vulgar. Housewives has evolved to good the one. Point where we're not still dealing with Kim Zolciak and the synthetic wigs in the townhouse, with Mr. Big or whatever.
The halcyon days. Those are the amazing dream days. Yeah. I love
where they're pretending that they're rich, richer than they are. It had evolved to a point where I felt like there was just more of a, like Lisa Vanderpump, legitimately rich, doesn't brag about it. It's just the way Erica was constantly her fucking glam squad. I thought all of that stuff was super tragic, super vulgar. And it was like, that's where you hit left too hard. Cause it's like you were pushing this lifestyle.
Yeah.
And now you look like an asshole because the burn victims, you couldn't write it in a movie. You'd say it's too on the nose.
Exactly.
I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October and there is so much to plan. You got to do the food. You got to do the food tasting. You got to book the venue, talk about the DJ. And then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Well, Brandy, I know you're a huge fan of her music. Does it upset you as somebody that's into pop music does it ruin you when you hear her music now?
I don't think anything will ever ruin any of the Housewives songs. And I mean, nothing. Oh. We do Click the Keys and Google Me. Oh. We are on Fly Above Candy. We have
Melissa Gorga. By the way, Melissa Gorga gets made fun of a lot, but I'm saying on display and to watch her try to be a beautiful Jennifer Lopez. Song. Back beautiful in the song. Day was really beautiful fun, song. You know?
Oh, and we love Melissa. And,
are you kidding me? Also, and also
on display, every day.
So and Joey in the studio going,
And I'm sorry, every Countess Luann song is a hit. You just can't deny. You just can't.
I was standing in front of these people who did not find me funny, drunk late at night in front of probably the Froyo shop.
Ralph's or okay.
In West Hollywood, probably the Froyo shop, Demi Lovato tried to troll me. So there's these people are sitting there and Julie's in, like, I think inside with our friend Johnny getting frozen yogurt. And I'm like drunk and like standing in front of them trying to be hilarious. Like I'm talking about doing a tight five and they weren't laughing. Nothing could get them on board. And then finally I went, money can buy and they died. And I was like, mic drop. Nobody can withstand the money can buy you class.
Did you see Kelly Clarkson got to meet Countess Luann this week?
No.
And Kelly Clarkson sang Money Can't Buy You Class. And there's an Instagram video on Luann's. And I reposted it. And I said, wow, that Kelly Clarkson got to meet an icon today. And of course, Countess Luann reposted that because in her head, she's in like Bette Midler status, which she kind of is in a way.
Except Kelly Clarkson sing your song. That is legendary. Really? I love that.
I would, if COVID didn't happen, I would have followed her around like the dead. Like I would have gone town to town, Just like just on different forms of acid at each one.
Like it's a Fish concert. That's a great idea.
Oh shit, she opened with Money this time. Oh my god, 30 minute drum solo on you.
Trying to find mushrooms in each town.
Nobody is on drugs here. It's just all martinis. Okay, so back to the Beverly Hills reunion. We come out hitting hard though, because Erika Jayne gets like the opening like monologue where like she goes, "I want to make these victims whole," and she uses that. She says, "I want to make these victims whole," which I thought was like, that's like poetic. That's like Shakespearean almost. But then I talked to a bunch of my lawyer friends, and I guess that's lawyer speak.
What does it mean?
Yeah, like I want to make sure they get their money back. Yeah, like if they've been hurt by Tom Girardi, I want to make them complete. You know, I want to make sure that they're taken care of. But I thought, I was like, wow, Erica just came up with whole, but I guess that's a lawyer phrase, which is
and
even then more disgusting.
That's like not from her portion of
not from my portion of money, but I like Tom. Yeah,
it's also like a gambling. It's like a gambling term too, like when you make someone whole. But then again, I was surprised she said that at all, because she had to. I'm sure her lawyer, like, you know, she was told she had to say it.
Well, she said, I've been told that I've been cold this entire season.
I've been told. Like, you didn't know that you're a fucking cold asshole.
I could have told you that 6 years ago. Like, I mean, it is funny that this is the season also that PK gets celebrated. And like, we're like, remember when he called her inherently cold many seasons ago, you know? And now people, and this is why sometimes I get really frustrated with my female audience that listens, like, PK said two good things back to back episodes, and they immediately were like, I want to fuck PK. I want to, like, they were like, literally, like, man, that guy's hot. I'm like, that's all it takes is two good things episode to episode. It's just wild.
Now, I will say this, okay? I will say for anyone listening, I'm full Les. Is that
and you were a full-time PK hater. Like,
full-time PK
I
hater.
Used to be a full-time PK hater. It looked like a stuffed baked potato. Yeah.
Full-time. Okay, it was my 24-hour job. So, you know, I find him to be smug and arrogant and cocky, and I think that he's completely fucking sexist. Now, on the other hand, he has come to me this season as he's hanging out with Mauricio. He loves to drink. He loves to eat. He's constantly eating. He's partying. He just wants to have
us.
A good time.
We overdrink and overeat.
And I was
and
thinking
inappropriate.
Right. And so I realized that if I were to be in this situation with these people, me physically and me personally with these people, I'm quite sure I'd have a great time with PK, because we would just, you're laughing, you're eating, you're drinking, and he's coming correct with some of the shit about Erica. So I just had to be like, you know what? I got to dial it back. I got to give it to the guy.
But it's so easy for guys, though. It's just like, since we ate and drank, we like, I'll consider hanging out with him. Like, that's
well, it's because he's funny.
It's because he's funny. And he's also, I think there's a thing with these housewives or these women, these particular women. And I don't I get it. We're in you're in Beverly Hills. God forbid you eat anything. You know what I mean? They're constant about their weight and their looks and surgery and the I get it. But for me, it was just like, and I think for Brandy too, it was like, God, do we want to be in a situation where we're just like fucking laying it back, drinking, saying whatever we want, not worrying about it. And you know, this British fucking asshole is going to be right there. So I had to fucking,
Do you ever picture him and Mauricio? Cause they, you know, he always loves to tea, like him and Mo are like buddies now. Like I always try to imagine them at the bar and he's like, they're trying to pick up women. And he's like, I'm the good looking one. My ugly friend Mo here wants to say hi, you know, like he's the one that like lays the rap down, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But I know that I would feel comfortable to be like, why don't you shut the fuck up, you fat ass?
And he would respect you. He'd be like, he would love that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, stop talking like that, sir. But or whatever. But yeah, exactly.
Four episodes ago, he then dropped subtly in the form of a joke. He also lost $2 billion. And he was like, I haven't found the money yet. I'm looking for it.
Right. Which then says to you, we've been surmising all along. You are also a criminal. So that's fine. And I do believe he's got some shady shit in the old closet. But
yeah, Twitter was like, Bravo Twitter was like, oh, when the reunion's over, Dorit's going to be hiding from, going to be hiding from the fans, like PK's hiding from the tax collectors.
Well, did you ever see that video of somebody approaching Dorit on vacation in the pool? And it was like, this lady approached her and put it on video of like, you know, your husband stole all of my husband's money and was like chasing her around a pool in like Cabo or something like that. And she was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, with her indiscriminate
accent. She's dressed like she's like a person in front of like a marching band. I wish I was like a fucking band leader of a football game or something. Good one. I don't understand. Yeah, good. It's so weird.
Why is Lisa Rinna so horrible? Do you have any thoughts?
I'm thinking like one is Sutton's like clearly she barely even. I'm surprised they didn't bring in like you're fired during the reunion. Maybe in part three they'll be like, well, here's your contract. We're terminating it. We're gonna do this as part of the show. Like clearly Erica's like put her on an island, so Sutton's gone. And it made me go into this deep thing of like Lisa Rinna has really. Julie and I went through a whole thing where like wow. Denise Richards, fucking Teddy, because we didn't watch, we haven't seen anything of Denise Richards, we haven't seen anything of Teddy, but of course we know.
Oh,
he's
you
on.
Didn't see that. See, oh, you would hate Lisa. Okay, sorry.
But what I'm saying is, how does she stay prolific on this cast yet they come and go? I think Teddy seems like
it's crazy.
Like I don't know. I don't know. It's just it's. I'm wondering how Lisa Rinna has managed to become. As big as I guess Kyle and Lisa right. Vanderpump.
Now we didn't see that season, like you said. Apparently, she was unlikable because I have not watched anything where I haven't been like, I would pay to be in a room with Lisa Rinna while she dances around trying to sell her duster on QVC, and also just again another person who seems like, for all their failings or whatever, they seem fun. They seem fun.
I think you got to watch last season. You got to watch last season of it. Like she was so horrible to Denise. And supposedly the rumor was, you know, Denise hooked up with Brandy and Brandy like let that. And then it wasn't Rinna's business at all. And Denise said, right. Hey, you're going to ruin my family. And Rinna kept pushing, kept pushing, kept pushing. And it was not even had nothing to do with Rinna. And so that's why there's like residual anger this season when Rinna is going so hard on Garcelle during the like, have a breakthrough. And then she's like, and then she just has the cackle that rattles around in my brain of like, ha, where like Carol Channing would be like, it's too much, you know?
Yeah. Oh. It was definitely intense. That whole Watch What Happens Live exchange where it was like, bring back, you know, but then you have to kick someone off.
Oh, that's
someone
right.
has to leave.
Right.
And Andy goes, LR. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Andy, the shitster of the century.
He's the Kyle Richards host, you know?
Yeah. So I think, and it was a fucking cringe when she moved to the couch.
That's what I'm saying. She tried to make that moment happen. And I think but by the way, I also think, I don't know if you guys, like me hating somebody on the show is part of me liking the show.
Of course. I'm
not asking for her to leave. I don't want her fired. I don't want, but it is something that it that shows you how little I am for personal growth. I can get so impassioned about that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that she would be like that too, especially when it's like, don't talk about my husband! Like, shit like that, where you're like, you're insane. You are legitimately insane.
And she's so like, lucky to have this job. I mean, because think about, I grew up with her on like Melrose Place, and like her tagline is, my lips are legendary, but some, and I'm like, your lips are jacked. Like that, I mean, she has a makeup line, and how I remember her is that she had got botched plastic surgery that she admitted to. I remember hearing interviews that she had done too much. And now I love that she can rewrite history. And now she's kind of like this legend because of Housewives. Mm. It's like a really interesting second act.
And she's pretty lucky nobody's digging deep into what Harry Hamlin's doing.
I don't
in
know
Canada.
Why you're... By the way, did you see that scene of like, he's like, nobody can get in or out. If you try to visit, I'm going to be quarantining there for the next couple of years.
Yeah. And it's like, and nobody went that deep with Scott Disick and her daughters.
Yeah.
I mean, she can't really withstand a bunch of scrutiny, I don't think. And all of a sudden now Harry's like, apparently, because when we dipped, Harry Hamlin would be scarcely ever seen. He might just do a cross or he'd have his glasses on somewhere briefly, but now he's going and filming full dinners and shit.
Right.
So they're clearly
You can tell the bolognese. If I hear one more, like it's turned me off Italian food for the rest of the year. Like, it's like, you guys, when you dip though, when you come back, is it, cause I was thinking if I had went back and watched 13 years ago, the series premiere of Real Housewives of Orange County, and then now watched what it is, I would be like, holy shit, what is it? It just seems like we're involving crime now. And is there going to be a murder? What, when you guys come back and watch, do you notice like huge differences in tone and things like that? Or,
well, we stopped in 2016. So, basically we watch all of 2016. So probably 2017 we stopped. So I can say, bar none, it's exactly the same, redundant as fuck. You can go for 2 years and pop back in and you know everything, like, oh cool, I mean, we're back. The only person we had to get to know was Sutton. We never saw Denise, right? We never saw, but we kind of followed, you know. We, somebody tweeted us about Below Deck and said,
oh, I like Below Deck.
Yeah, and we used to watch that too, but that Bravo has gotten to the point now, there's, you know, these shows have been on for so long that it's now become a game of like entrapment, where somebody plants a seed, whether it's drugs or cheating or whatever it may be, and then they spend the season like investigating and unraveling this one thing. But it's always a little too much. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like you're watching someone's life implode, and you're not really, we're just looking for Jax and like Stassi, or for Kristen to fuck Jax and then them to get into this fight. Like, we're more into that. Or
like, just like get too drunk at the charity event and be embarrassing and something like that. I mean, I do think I did notice this year across the board, they were trying to be like, they were trying to do like a, we care about societal issues kind of. So we're going to add like a sort of a divert. We want to learn. We want to do cultural learning. And it's just like, you know, those things are important, fine. But for these shows, it's just so it's not authentic. It's, you can tell that it's pandering, and it's just, you know.
I sometimes wonder, I guess, because I've not taken a break, so I'm so ingratiated and probably like Stockholm syndrome, like, you know, where I'm like, okay, so it is not natural at first, you know, and I'm like, okay, but do we have to suffer through, or not suffer, or have a couple of seasons of this so it actually properly integrates and we can actually have a, I don't know, I you know, you try, but you of course, and especially with Vanderpump Rules, when it's like, yo, I mean, the first problem is people shouldn't be hanging out that work together in bars for 15 years. Like, you know, it's like, I worked at a bar. I don't still talk to my bar backs, you know, were forced to, do you guys have about 10, 15 more minutes, or you have to go now? For 10 minutes?
We have 10 minutes.
Okay, cool. I wanted to talk about, in terms of Andy, though, and you guys used to host the Vanderpump Rules After Show, and I watched every episode and I loved it. Like, because I just really loved that show. To me, it still is the cream. It is, to me, the top. Those first four seasons and the sixth season are amazing. What was that experience like, being able to do that? Like, was that amazing or horrifying?
No, it was amazing.
It was awesome.
I mean, it was amazing. Yeah, and we, awesome, because we loved, especially at that time, I mean, Bravo was just everything. I mean, it was, I mean, I don't even know. I couldn't have made it. I mean, all those years without Bravo, period. It was just, you know, the only way I could not be in a depression, probably kill myself, honestly. God forbid I have to think about why my dad never gave me the proper attention and affection. But we loved that show. It is the penultimate in terms of there's guys and girls.
Yes.
It's not just girl heavy.
Right.
We always loved Jax from the dawn of time.
You said that, and you even said that on Watch What Happens Live, and Jax is one of my mortal enemies just from the show, like a true sociopath, but you said he was the best, like even during the show.
We'd met him at bars.
Yeah. And I got to say, and for me, you know, when I am with her in a bar situation and with guys like that in general, with guys, there is a thing where like guys are disgusting and they are creeps and pervs.
Agreed,
and they don't let up and they are fucking, just give it a fucking rest, please. Just give it a rest. He isn't like that. And even though he's a womanizer and a cheater and whatever he is, he's not a creep and he's not a fucking perv, at least publicly. He's respectful. He's funny. He's nice. And he makes you go to him rather than him go to you. And I appreciate it. Regardless of what these people are going to do towards him, he isn't doing what other guys do. And for that alone, for me, he's like fucking at the top.
But that's real life too. That's not based on what we see on the show.
No, that's real life. That's a real person.
Like, that's personal experience.
That was before we just met him at the bar. Like prior to even People's Cup.
Oh, sir. Oh, at like when you at actual sir before the show.
Yeah. So we would meet him and he was just cool. If he flirts with girls, he'll flirt with gay guys.
Yeah.
He'll flirt with,
he's not fucking threatened. He isn't worried about it. He's not desperate. And it's just like, there's a thing And, you know, I don't know. I don't know how else to explain it.
No,
I
this
just
is a
really
hot take, actually. This is actually a very, because I watched you say that on Watch What Happens Live, and I read, and it was like a very different take than what anybody gives about Jax and what we actually see with our own eyes from the reality show. You
I
know?
Feel like it's so important because yeah. from my perspective, as someone who's on
hates men.
well, on the outside of watching men, how they treat women and how particularly yeah, around definitely. Her when yeah, I'm with definitely. Her in the world, men are fucking disgusting. And he just wasn't like that. So for me, I just feel like whether he's like that interpersonally in a private situation, I have no idea. But I can tell you publicly, which is for that's just all I can respond to. I just appreciate it. It's so yeah. different from other men. It just is cool. He's cool.
Also, I have to say, I remember when we did it, that was the first season of Britney. And we just really love her because she really is honestly one of the friendliest.
Yeah, she's
like
so
most
nice.
Beautiful, yeah. nice people. And plus we were all sort of just like, she was just new and we were new and we were like, let's whatever. And she was so sweet. But I remember telling Julie, yeah, what's he going to do now? Like, unless he just cheats on her. sorry. Yeah, he's not going to have a storyline.
Right.
But he went and he freaking stole the sunglasses. Brilliant. I'm like, brilliant,
oh,
man.
I'm here in Hawaii trying to find that sunglass cut. I'm doing a true crime podcast just following around Jax's exploits in Hawaii. So
good. I mean, do it all. Do it all. Go where they showed the boobs and they got all pissed off at Lala because she had her titties out. Like, the whole Hawaii trip was genius. And that's to me the brilliance of him and that show.
Yeah,
was like stealing sunglasses. Yeah. Like, he'll never let you down.
And that's very LA to me too. Or that's very like to me that is kind of the reality show version of they always call themselves the cast of Friends. But it was like really you saw like there's the person that lies to try to like make themselves feel better. There's Sandoval trying to do dress up before he like. There's all of these different personalities that we had all recognized in our 20s and 30s a little bit.
Yeah, and the other revelation for us was Sheena, who was one of the nicest people on the planet, and that we went and partied with them many times and whatever. And you know what? She's just so sweet. Like
she's
texted,
the sweetest one,
she like texts would text to make sure that we got home okay at 3 a.m. Or she's very sweet. She's really truly, truly very sweet. So
she got us these wine glasses because we went to a Christmas party and it said, one said J and one said B, and we left them there. Of course we're wasted and never got them. And she's like, I just gave them to Jax and Brittany. And we're like, okay.
Oh man, you aren't watching this season with Brock. Like, I mean, like, I would love. Oh, I Brock. Wish I could get your take on Brock because he's like, you know, a New Zealander.
Yeah. Well, we know because we've hung out with Sheena since.
Yeah.
Even when she's like, I'm going to get with this guy, and like the very first time they were going to hook up, and we were like, oh my god, Australian, and like we were like so into it, and then all through, and then when she was pregnant, we saw her. So I mean,
the show is different than knowing in real life. What we get to see sometimes on the show is a different aspect of actual.
How is Brock coming across?
Not great, you guys. And I know. He's like, and I can't do accents, but he's like,
hey guys, how are you? I'm Brock.
I sound like I have got three kids. I haven't seen in 4 years. And he makes.
Is he a leprechaun?
I'm not good at. Come on, we all can't do great voice work like you.
I can't do it either.
You did a great Erica. Are you kidding me? Like,
she does Australian for British now. Like,
I have one accent, and that's it. And it melds into one thing. That's all.
No, it's but Sheena's so like Sheena like. I think, you know, they're definitely going to get married. I think all of that stuff, but Sheena will though make it not excuses, but like, no, this is the reason why. This is the reason why. This is why he's like that. You know how she always is so for her dude, like throws down. So I think he is painted as the quote unquote, maybe villain of the season or something. So,
you know what, but good for Sheena though, because she needs a storyline. We used to tell her, during that, we were around, I would be like this, Sheena, just do some lesbian shit. Like, do some lesbian shit. Sheena.
I mean, kind of, yeah. I mean, like, that would have totally,
would have rocked.
I love how she used to hint of, like, I do threesomes all the time. Like, oh, yeah. Like, back in the day, football players, John Mayer, anything. Julie and Brandy, I really could talk to you guys forever. Thank you. I genuinely are heroes in this field for me. Like, I really look up to you guys, and that's why I've sweated at least 50% less than the first time I've met you.
That is such a nice thing to say. Thank you so much. Really, but, honestly.
Dumb Gay Politics, you guys got to go subscribe. This actually makes it fun. This is good. This informs, and they're just so damn funny, and they do present it like Bravo. So that's your in right there, you guys. I hope you'll come back on at some point, because I'd laugh so much, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Anytime.
Oh, anytime. Next time we'll do it live in Hawaii. In your bed.
How dare you? You are kidding. Please come on anytime you want to bitch about Bravo, or I'll just catch you up on what's happening. Okay.
That sounds great. Anytime. That was fun for us. It was awesome to talk to you.
It was.
Now you don't need to sweat anymore.
And we like to have a reason to go back into our addiction. We have to do Ryan's podcast. Okay. Let's
how about this too?
Bravo.
I'll throw it in there. Even though you hate guys, I would love to drink with you guys at some point. At some point when it's safe, I'll get the booster. I'm vaxxed already. I'll stay 10 feet away.
Yes, we will.
It would be an honor to drink with you guys.
And I would love it. I can tell already you're a gentleman. What a delight. I know everyone's going to think I hate. I don't.
I've started dating recently, and I talked to somebody for the third time, and they said, thank you so much. And I was like, for what? And they're like, for not asking me for a nude. And I was like, what? Like, it happens that quickly? Like, it's disgusting. So anyways, thank you guys. And hopefully we'll talk very soon.
We hope so.
Nice
thank
meeting
you. Talk soon. Have fun in Hawaii.
Yeah.
No.
Betches.